Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman and Parker Kelly broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Great talking with Max Herz from Preds Radio for the first hour, as we always do on Fridays. Again, next week, we will slide Max to the end of the show from 11 to 12 and lead right into pregame coverage as the Predators take on the Penguins in Stockholm, Sweden. Let's get into some football. I can say definitively the Titans are not going to lose this weekend. It is the bye week. We have made it. Titans are 1-8 through the first 9 weeks. They will be back in action at home against the Texans next Sunday. It was a busy week for this team, though. Made some trades. Draymond Jones sent to the Ravens was the latest move from Tennessee. And we heard from Mike Borgonzi on Wednesday morning talking about the decisions to make those trades, some of the trades he didn't make, and the outlook for this team moving forward. And it's brought me to one question for the fan base out there that I want to get everyone's thoughts on. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, so you can text or call. That we had this conversation last year too, and it's going to be a conversation for the next 2 months. What are you rooting for the Titans for the rest of the season? Because there's plenty of fans out there, and I would consider myself one of them, who, you know, when the ball is put in play, you're always rooting for your team to win. But losing may be better for the long-term outlook of this team. The number one overall pick is surely going to be a valuable one this year, with lots of teams needing quarterbacks. Lots of teams that do need quarterbacks have multiple first-round picks either this year or next year. So there's a lot of value to be had in a tank. But I want to know, what does the fan base want? Do you want to see this team lose out, go 1-16, and get your best chance at the number one overall pick? And I believe if they went 1-16, they'd be guaranteed the number one overall pick. Actually, no, the Jets still only have one win. So
yeah, and the Saints are ahead of the Titans. Right,
but if you went 1-16, that would mean the Saints beat you. So yes, that would move them past you. But the Jets are 1-7. They play the Browns this week, which could be an interesting game. If you're looking for rooting interest this weekend, root for the Jets to beat the Browns. But I want to know what the fan base out there is rooting for. Do you want to see this team tank and lose, go 1-16? Or do you think there's more value in a winning culture and starting to see some of these young guys contribute to victories on Sunday instead of just seeing the flashes in 20-point losses like we've seen pretty much all season long? Parker, what's your take on this?
So I think Paul brought up the best point. If you're a fan of the team, which we both are, you don't ever root for your team to lose. So I'm not openly rooting for the Titans to lose, but having that number one overall pick, or even if you have a top five pick, I feel like you could trade that and maybe get another first round pick or even a second round pick. So that would be best case scenario, but we don't openly root for the Titans to lose.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you have to kind of compartmentalize it. Of those 3 hours on Sunday, I think you got to be rooting for your team to win. It is a sad existence during football season if you're rooting for your team to lose. I had somebody tell me a couple of weeks ago that the wins in football come in the fall, not in the spring. And yes, the draft pick is important because you feel like, as a team, you feel like you have your quarterback. Mike Borgonzi said as much on Wednesday that they believe in Cam Ward to be the franchise quarterback for this team. So you're in a position where if you get the number one overall pick, you have the ability to send it away for hopefully a king's ransom. Depends on who's offering. But there are going to be a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. And despite the expected quarterbacks maybe not being quite as good this season as you hoped, there's still names up there. Fernando Mendoza has emerged as a possible first overall pick. Ty Simpson might be your Heisman favorite right now. He's draft eligible. Dante Moore out of Oregon has been good. Maybe he inserts himself into that conversation. So there are going to be names up there. A quarterback needy team is going to fall in love. It happens every year. You could say it happened with the Titans and Cam Ward last season when they took him first overall. But you look around the league, teams that might be interested in taking a quarterback. You got the Dolphins. You've got the Jets. You've got the Browns. Maybe the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers only on a one-year deal. They could be interested in a quarterback. The Raiders need one. Geno Smith, we saw last night, he hasn't been good enough for that team. They could be looking for a quarterback. In the NFC, I think the Giants are going to at least give Jackson Dart another year. Right? Like
100%.
Like,
he's their guy.
You take him in the first round, he's gotten off to a strong start. They're not going to be looking at a quarterback. The Cowboys could be interested in a quarterback. That one may be a little bit less likely, but it's possible. The Saints definitely need a quarterback. The Cardinals just benched Kyler Murray. They need a quarterback. There's close to a dozen teams that could be looking for a young quarterback. So having that number one overall pick is very valuable. It's one of those situations where I think in your mind during that game, you're rooting for the team to show promise and you're rooting for the team to win. But in the back of your mind, it's probably better for this team in the long term to lose. That's kind of where I was last year in the Patriots game, the one that went to overtime here where Drake May made the ridiculous running around for 10 seconds with the clock at zero and finding Ramondre Stevenson for the touchdown. As soon as that play happened, I was like, all right, well, now you want to lose in overtime. And I think there's a little bit of that of when your team gets in a situation where you can lose to another team that might be in the conversation for the number one pick, maybe it's better to see your team make a mistake down the stretch. But I think heading into the games, you do want to see your young quarterback come out and put together a complete game and get a win, because building that winning culture and not being a team that lost its final 12 games of the season, I think is important for the mental psyche of these young players and also the culture in that locker room moving forward, that this team isn't going to lose, gosh, 30 out of 34 games over two seasons.
And for nothing else, we have something positive to talk about if the Titans win. We don't have to come in here and talk about the same old things
right. All
the time.
We've gotten one Victory Monday on this show.
Ugh.
And it was kind of bittersweet because we
didn't feel like it.
We spent 1 hour talking about, yeah, it's great. They made the plays down the stretch to win. But it's not sustainable to win that way.
We spent a fair amount of time ripping the Titans,
right, too.
I say about half the show.
We've seen that the last 4 weeks, that the way the Titans played in that Cardinals game, that is not sustainable to actually win football games. And, you know, we had fans on both sides saying we were being too negative. Some said we were being too positive. This team's not very good. And, yes, you want to win football games, but you also look at this and say, this is a year when you feel like you have your franchise quarterback and history can repeat itself. Look back at the 2016 draft where you took your quarterback in 2015 and you get the number one overall pick, and the Titans' stretch of winning football came almost as a direct result of that trade. That 2016 trade allowed you to take Derrick Henry. It allowed you to take Kevin Byard. It allowed you to take Jack Conklin and Corey Davis. And, you know, I understand Corey Davis he did not live up to his fifth overall pick billing, but he was a big part of those winning teams. The game winner against the Eagles in 2018. He had nearly 1,000 yards in 2020. So that trade set up everything for that team to go to the AFC Championship and be the number one overall seed. That's how you get this rebuild going. But winning football games is also important. There's got to be some sort of balance. I think maybe a 2-15 season at least makes you feel a little bit better, right?
Not by much.
I know, I'm mostly kidding.
Maybe 1% better?
Couple of texts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, want to get your thoughts on this. I think there is a split in the fan base of you're 1-8. Do you just want to tank the rest of the way? Or do you think it's important to win these games and gain some confidence? 0862 has chosen door number 3 and says, I'm hoping that Amy sells the team. Again, we talk about this all the time. It's not going to happen. 1541 says, I hope they tank, but I'm a Steelers fan. Great. I would assume other teams would want the Titans to tank. Mike in Lebanon says tank for draft picks. Dustin from Hopkinsville says the coaching isn't about winning. They're purposely not implementing these tight ends or just incompetent. I truly think Borgonzi wants that number one pick to trade back. We need youth. We need number one. Trade back, get a number one wide receiver. Mike in Clarksville says the Titans should do this year what they should have done last year if they received the number one pick, trade away the pick, and accumulate more draft picks to build some talent and depth on this team, something we are in desperate need of. And Mike, I'm sure, is similar to a lot of the fans out there who didn't want Cam Ward, of saying you should have traded back. Now you should trade back. But the way I look at it is, are any of these quarterbacks game changers? Like, are these surefire franchise quarterbacks coming out? Whether you're looking at Mendoza or Moore or Simpson or any of the names who could end up in this first overall pick conversation. No. There is no Andrew Luck in this class. There is no Joe Burrow in this class. There is no Trevor Lawrence in this class. So the way I look at it is, you took Cam Ward. You didn't know when the next time you're going to get a chance to take a guy that you believe is your franchise quarterback. And now you hope that you're in a position to recoup those draft picks next year if you can get the number one overall pick. 615-737-1025. I have an interesting thought. And this kind of goes against my philosophy for Cam Ward that I've had since the beginning. But I wonder if this is going through the minds of the higher-ups in the front office and in the coaching staff for the Titans. We'll get to it coming up next. Again, we want your thoughts. 615-737-1025. We've hit the bye week. The Titans are 1-8. Would you rather the Titans get some wins down the stretch to build some momentum for this culture heading into next year? Or would you rather tank for that number one pick? We'll talk more about it next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on FIU tomorrow at 2 p.m. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly alongside you on this Friday morning. Hope you're having a great start to your Friday. Looking forward to the weekend. It is a Titans bye week, so we don't have to sit through 3 hours of that on Sunday, which means this might be a good weekend.
It's mercifully here.
Yes. Mercifully. You know, Parker, we've talked about it all week of, like, we get to watch great college football all week, and then we somehow find ourselves back on the couch Sunday at noon watching the Titans play. That will not be the case this week. Titans on a bye before returning to action against the Texans next Sunday. I asked the question to all of you out there, and you can get your answers in. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What are you rooting for the rest of the season? You got 8 games to go. Should this team win some more games? Easier said than done based on the way they've played. Or do you think they embrace the tank and go 1-16? And I had a thought about what the Titans might do down the stretch. And this goes against my thinking on Cam Ward. I've said since the beginning, since they drafted him, he needs to play. It's a guy who has played a ton of college football. He needs to get adjusted to the NFL game. You got to play him. But with the season pretty much a wash at this point, and your coaching staff is already out the door, you're bringing in a new coach at the end of the year, I wonder if Cam Ward tweaks anything, like little calf strain, little shoulder soreness, something like that, if they just sit him down. Do you think that's where this ends up going for Parker? Parker, do you think this is where this ends up going for Cam Ward? Of, like, hey, they're going to put him back out there after the bye week, but they're going to treat him with kitty gloves the rest of the way and basically say, you know what, he's played whatever it is, 11, 12, 13 games in his rookie season, and let's put Brandon Allen out there and just mail this one in the rest of the way.
Well, you know the saying, it's different. There's a difference between being hurt and being injured. So if Cam Ward is fighting through some little nicks and bruises here and there, I don't think the Titans are going to sit him, but if it's something that could progressively lead to an injury, then I think that's when we'll see him sit. I think as long as he is able to play, I think he's going to be out there.
See, I think every week we go on, the threshold for an injury is going to get lower, right? Like, yes, let's say he tweaks something against the Texans and he's okay. Like, he's okay. He can play. It's not super serious. I don't know if you sit him down in week 11 or 12, but let's look ahead to the Saints game in like week 17. And it's like, let's say you're 1-14 at that point, and the Saints are 1-14, and it's the toilet bowl. Loser is, you know, in the driver's seat for the number one pick. And Cam Ward maybe takes a couple extra hits in the game the week before or against the Chiefs. I wouldn't hate it if you just say, you know what, Brandon Allen, ball's yours. Cam's played 15 games. Let's just put him in bubble wrap and get him ready for next year.
Well, knowing the type of competitor Cam Ward is,
I don't know if he'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I think this is going to be up to him, and I don't think he's going to want to sit.
Well, and the order would come from Borgonzi and Brinker, right? Like, this isn't a Mike McCoy decision. Mike McCoy doesn't have those big picture decision making abilities right now. That is not in his job description right now. The call would come from the Titans front office if they wanted to sit him down. I don't know if they're going to do it, but I think with every week that goes on, the level of injury needed to end Cam Ward's season gets lower. Like, obviously, any like long-term injury would end his season, but I think you get into December, and if there's something that's like, hey, he's going to be fighting through stuff for the next couple of weeks, I think they sit him down and say, Brandon Allen, go get us that number one overall pick. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's get to your thoughts on what the Titans should do the rest of the season. Again, it's not like they have much of a choice here. The team's not very good. They're not going to reel off a ton of wins, but what are you rooting for? Jay from Laverne says, why would we want wins? We have way too many holes to fill and need picks, especially since we have Borgonzi, and he already proved his three draft picks turned out great. I agree. I think that if you want to get to those levels that Borgonzi and Brinker were talking about of 30 total picks and 12 in the top 100, and you're not willing to trade a player like Jeffrey Simmons, the only way to get that level of picks is to trade out of a high pick in this year's draft. So, long term, obviously, the tank is best for the team, but you also have to look at, you've got a lot of young players that you really need to take big leaps and be part of the core moving forward, and it's hard to develop guys when the team is as bad as it is right now. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jack is on the line wanting to chime in. Jack, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Yeah, they might as well tank. They couldn't win this year if they tried. They can sit Cam Newton down for the rest of his career. He's not all that. And ain't all this what we're hearing? Wait. Players are young. We had good draft picks. Ain't that what we heard last year? And the Titans haven't been good for years. So why do y'all think they're going to get so much better overnight?
Thanks for the call, Jack. I didn't say they're going to get so much better overnight. I believe he meant Cam Ward, not Cam Newton. It's been 9 games of Cam Ward. Like, again, we're not going to say that he is a bust at this point in his career. There are lots of stories of quarterbacks who have struggled as rookies and gone on to have very good careers. Let's go to Jim on our phone lines next. Jim, thanks for calling. What you got?
How are we going to win without a defense? You know, why not let Ward play? You think our defense could actually stop anybody so your offense could win?
Well, I'm not saying you bench Ward to win. I'm saying you bench Ward to lose.
But but we're going to lose regardless of whether you bench him.
Right. I mean, no, that I agree. I don't think this team's winning more than a game or two more, but I think you have a lower chance of winning football games with Brandon Allen as your quarterback than you do with Cam Ward.
I think it's pretty even because the O-line's not going to hold up for either one of them. And don't you want to see something from Ward?
No,
let him work with the rookies. Let him blend in and, you know, get some kind of rhythm going with his guys.
No, I agree. I don't think you bench him now. I'm saying if you get to December and he has some sort of, small injury, bumps and bruises, maybe that's when you pull the plug on the rookie season and just say, hey, go get ready for next year. But, yeah, you still want to see development.
that's what I want to see him show, what kind of a leader he is, with a few bumps and bruises. I mean, we've always got guys with bumps and bruises that quit on us. So how about having our new guy play with the bumps and bruises to prove to everybody that this is who we are. Doesn't matter who the coach is right now. Let's make sure we show the fan base who we are. We're playing.
Well, thanks for the call, Jim. I think it's a good point, and I'm not advocating for Cam Ward to sit at any point this year.
I mean, Cam Newton?
Yeah, Cam.
Our new guy, Cam Newton, baby.
Devin and Dixon said, Cam who? Bro just went back to 2010.
When did the Titans get Cam Newton?
I don't know.
Are we breaking that news on the air?
He was out there for a while. I'm back. Was that what he yelled?
Versus the Cardinals.
Versus the Cardinals.
Panthers, yeah.
Mike from Clarksville on the text line says something else that needs to happen as well, as we need to get rid of Brinker. That has been a common theme this week.
I think everybody is in agreement on that one.
And honestly, it is funny. The Borgonzi press conference on Wednesday has made everybody hate Brinker that much more, because it's like all we hear from Brinker, and whenever he comes out, you're like, man, that guy, he doesn't sound competent. And then Borgonzi comes out and has maybe the best press conference we've heard from anyone in the Titans organization in half a decade. And everybody's like, why is this the guy who doesn't have the full reign in this front office? It's ridiculous.
I don't know how the rest of the Mike Borgonzi era is going to go, but after that press conference, I agree with Paul. He's the best football guy in the building right now and should be spearheading the next head coaching search. I mean, I loved how honest he was, and I know that's really the first time he's got to be up there by himself, but he was so candid. It was very refreshing, because the Titans really don't – they treat everything like a government secret, so it was nice to hear some honesty.
I really enjoyed hearing from Borgonzi on Wednesday all by himself, and I think it did just highlight that he is the best guy the Titans have right now. They need to let him make the decisions. 3280 says, Femi sucks. Stop bragging about the rookies. Again, I really, really hate, and this is like an overarching issue, I hate the ex-player sucks and just leaving it at that when they've played less than 10 games in their NFL career.
Well, why does he suck? I don't know. He just sucks.
Like, saying Cam sucks, Femi sucks, whoever sucks. It's like they have not played enough games to make that judgment yet. Guys develop. What you see in game 3 of their NFL career isn't always what you see when they get to year 4 of their NFL career. You don't draft these guys to come in and be good in September of their rookie season. You draft them to come in and get you to January in their second contract. That is what you draft these guys for. Let's stop saying that guys who have played less than 10 games, less than 20 games in their NFL career suck.
And Femi hasn't even played the edge position for a calendar year.
Right.
So
you can say that, hey, Femi hasn't looked like a guy that you take with a second round pick on the edge so far. And that's fair to say.
And that would be very fair.
That is fair to say that he has not lived up to the expectations that you expect, that you hope for when you take a guy at that position, at that spot in the draft. That is a fair thing to say. But to say he sucks is way premature, because he does have traits and he could easily turn into a good player for this team. He's probably not going to play the rest of the year. I mean, there's a chance he comes back towards the end, but let's not say these guys straight up suck. Because I've heard that a lot about Cam. You see that on Twitter all the time. Cam Ward sucks. Cam Ward's trash. Like, we don't know that yet. Has he underwhelmed? Yes. He has been underwhelming for the first overall pick. But there is players are not what you see immediately off the bat.
Jake, I consider us Middle Tennessee's therapy session, because we come at this from, it's really just like, don't overreact. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Just call it how you see it.
I know.
Just watch the games and just call it how you see it.
I know that doesn't play in sports talk radio. Like, everybody, there's black and white. That's what you're supposed to do. He sucks or he's great. That's all there is.
You're 10 or you're trash.
I would love to just insert a little bit of nuance into the conversation that, hey, Cam Ward has not looked good enough so far, but he can get better. That's the great
thing. There's no rules against getting better.
That's the great thing about rookies, is usually they end up getting better. Some of them don't, but usually players get better from their rookie season, and you hope to see that with these draft picks. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to more of your phones on the other side. Titans in a bye week. We're taking a 30,000-foot approach to the rest of the season. Do you want to see them lose out and go 1-16 and put themselves in a position to get the number one overall pick? Or do you think it's important to get these guys, the young guys, some wins to build their confidence heading into next year? We'll continue the conversation coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. This may be the perfect song for White Girl Friday.
Perfect.
White Chicks Friday.
Dun, 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 dun.
The Terry Crews scene in White Chicks with this is...
That's exactly what I thought of. One of
the best in cinema history.
That is exactly what I thought of.
Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. Monday night's matchup is the Eagles against the Packers. Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keegan has called in. Keegan, thanks for calling. What you got for us?
All right, guys, just to hit on a couple things y'all been talking about. I agree, the Terry Crews scene, absolutely fantastic. No denying that. Going on from there, you were talking about should the Titans tank or should they, compete this year. I think, in all honesty, people will say tank is let's go ahead and just lose every game, but you don't have to lose every game to get the first pick. You just kind of – as long as you end up with that number one pick, I don't think anyone cares what we do. We win a game. We win two games. Great. Win three games on the year. Fantastic. But as long as we end up where we should be in the draft position, that's kind of all that matters at the end of the day. However we get there is however we get there. And then I just want to hit on Brinker just a little bit. I think, you know, especially after hearing Borgonzi talking, like you are saying, how competent he was, I think a little bit of it is more I think about maybe Brinker's just so much of a mouthpiece for Amy that – he has to go out there and speak how Amy wants him to speak, kind of gives him a little rundown, a little script possibly. And that just kind of makes him sound like a fool. Kind of takes away maybe some of his confidence that he might have that he don't get to show us. If he's the mouthpiece for Amy, then, I mean, wouldn't it make sense that he's just saying what Amy says? And she's kind of a fool, so wouldn't it make sense he sounds like a fool? You know, I don't know. I just want to throw those things out there, you know, just see what y'all got to say.
It's a fair point, Keegan, that, you know, Chad Brinker goes out there and says that he's speaking for the owner and maybe doing that handcuffs him a little bit. I think you look more at the decisions that he's made and that shows you that there's been some incompetence that's gone on. And again, it's by comparison. When Mike Borgonzi goes out there and gives a real honest, open press conference and, you know, there were some topics that he said he wasn't going to delve into, but I feel like he gave Titans fans at least some sort of message of, hey, we understand how horrible this has been. We're doing everything we can to make it better. And I don't know if that's been the message from Chad Brinker. It's kind of just been, hey, we are where we are at this point in the season. On the other point of you can win a couple of games and still get the first overall pick, that is a good point. Last year, even into December, it looked almost impossible that the Titans were going to get the number one overall pick. I remember after that disastrous Bengals game at Nissan Stadium that was like it set the record for game with most penalties and most turnovers. And it was a disaster. Will Levis got benched again. I was talking with TD about how, man, I really don't know who is going to be the quarterback next year because the Titans aren't going to be in position to pick first overall. And I didn't think that they were going to go spend big in free agency to get Sam Darnold or something like that. So we were going through all these options. And then guess what? Drew Locke wins a game with the Giants and Joe Milton wins a game as quarterback of the Patriots and boom, you're picking first overall. So it's so hard to project what it's going to take to be the first overall pick. Like, yeah, maybe it takes the Titans losing out. Maybe one win is all you can afford and still get the number one pick if the Jets and Saints both lose out. But there's also a chance both those teams get some fluky wins. Maybe you get a win here or there, and maybe 3-14 is good enough to get the number one pick again.
Yeah, so this team won three games last year and still had the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the rest of the schedule, you're going to be hard-pressed to find two more wins. And honestly, you don't even have to try to tank. If you're the worst team in the league,
right,
it's going to play out that way.
No.
And you are going to lose without even trying. Like, that's just – that's so stupid. Nobody's going to intentionally try to tank.
No.
If you call yourself a competitor.
The people in that room are not trying to tank. Now, the front office may be saying, hey, let's put ourselves in a position where we are the worst team in football, and it's going to be tough for us to win games the rest of the year to set ourselves up. But the coaches, the players, you've got 31 other teams watching, too. Whether you're a coach and trying to get your next job, because most of those guys won't be around next year, or if you're a player, you know, we talked about it yesterday with TD, that you've got nine guys on this Titans team who you feel confident will be around in 2 or 3 years. The other 44 on that team, those guys are all playing for jobs elsewhere. So no one's trying to tank, but you're right. The Titans, not even intentionally trying to lose, probably are going to lose a lot of football games. I mean, you got Texans, Seahawks, Jaguars all at home coming up. You haven't won a home game in over a year. And, you know, those teams maybe aren't Super Bowl contenders, but they're better than you. At the Browns, as bad as the Browns are, they got Myles Garrett. You don't have Myles Garrett.
And they still have won two games this year.
They still have
even
found a
way to
win
two. Even without the quarterback situation, the defense is not terrible.
And again, Browns and Jets this weekend, that's a big one to keep your eye on if you're on draft.
One of those teams has to win.
One of them,
or they'll tie, and that'll still be a better result.
A tie might actually help the Titans more.
Yeah.
And then at the 49ers, I don't see them winning that game.
Not a shot.
Chiefs, of course.
Not a shot.
The Saints, the Toilet Bowl on December 28th, that might be the game that you have to look at and say, you win, you get the number one pick, you lose, you don't. Or, sorry, flip that. You lose, you get the number one pick, you win, you don't. But
tickets on sale for $17.
But, right, like, God, the stadium was actually more full on Sunday than I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's probably the most Chargers fans I've ever seen in one place.
But as the weather gets worse, that stadium's going to keep getting emptier and emptier.
100%. Will you be in attendance for the Toilet Bowl? Do you know?
I will not. We have a game that day. Vandy Women's Bat. We play Stonehill in our final non-conference
game. Hey, there we go.
So I will be paying attention from over at Memorial Gym. But I do want to make the point of, yes, the number one pick is the most valuable, clearly. And that gives you the opportunity to hold that pick ransom and say, you know, Jets, Browns, Saints, whoever it is who wants to come up and get a quarterback, you guys bid against each other, we'll take the best offer. But even if the Titans win a game or two more, they're still going to be picking the top five. Like, I would be hard-pressed to see the Titans not picking somewhere between 1 and 5 this year. Because if you're not picking in the top five, that means you probably won, what, 3 more games?
Yeah.
I think 3 and 14 would be 4, more than enough to get you into the top 5.
4 wins might get you that 4 or 5, but again, I don't see that happening. So here's what I thought of with the Colts trading for Sauce Gardner and the Jets doing all that they did, acquiring 5 first-round picks over the next 2 seasons.
Yeah.
If the Titans were, and we all think it's going to happen, a top 1, 2, 3 pick, you trade that back and get 2 picks out of that. I seriously think there's got to be a way that the Titans acquire more capital in order to catch the Jets. I don't think you're going to catch what the Jets did because you're not trading Jeffrey Simmons. And besides that, I don't know any other players on your team that would go for super high picks.
Yeah.
But trading that first round pick seems more and more likely given what the Jets have done.
The one thing that you are hoping for as well, if you're a Titans fan, is more of these quarterbacks who are draft eligible to show promise, right? Like, you want every single quarterback who could come out in the draft this year, whether that's the 3 that I've mentioned, who right now are being mocked at the top of the draft, Mendoza, Simpson, Moore, the guys that we talked about before, Lenore Sellers, Garrett Nussmeier, you want those guys to finish as strong as possible and give as much reason for teams to fall in love, because the more quarterbacks that are there, the better chance you have to get a king's ransom. Look at 2 years ago. The Giants offered a lot to move up to 3 to get Drake May. So if you're in position where there is a quarterback there that teams want, you're going to be fine in getting a good value to trade back. But right now, we just don't know how many quarterbacks are being viewed as top five picks. That's the big question the rest of the
year. Yeah. Fernando Mendoza, Ty Simpson, and Dante Moore are the early big board top three.
But that changes so much. We won't really know until probably February or March what the quarterback landscape looks like. But that's what you gotta be rooting for, is the more quarterbacks that are being talked about in that conversation, the more teams that are going to be available to you to come up, whether you're picking first, second, third, or wherever.
And if Cam was coming out the same time that all three of those guys did, I still think he'd be in the conversation.
I think Cam would be right in the mix for the first overall pick this year, too.
It just gives me – I like that part, that the Titans got their guy earlier. Now they can focus on getting other positions of need.
Yeah, lots of holes, and the best way to fill them? Trading down. If you can go get an edge, a wide receiver, and a cornerback all in the top 35 picks, that makes your team a whole lot better heading into 2026. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We're going to transition over to college football coming up next. Big game in Lubbock, Texas tomorrow. BYU, Texas Tech in the Big 12. Game day is there, and it could have a huge impact on Vanderbilt and their college football playoff hopes. We'll also preview Vandy and Auburn in the final hour of the show. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. The Commodores will take on Auburn tomorrow afternoon. Pregame begins at 1:30 on 94.9 The Fan with kickoff at 3 o'clock. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. We will preview Vanderbilt and Auburn coming up at the top of the hour, but did want to mention that tomorrow, Lubbock, Texas, biggest game of the week, top 10 matchup between undefeated BYU and the Texas Tech Red Raiders. This is a game that is going to have huge impacts on the entire college football playoff field, because right now, you kind of know most of the conferences and how it's going to end up, at least on how many teams are going to get in. With the Big Ten, there's three. I don't see anybody else really sneaking in there. Is there anybody else, Parker, in the Big Ten who could even have a shot at it?
The Big Ten?
Yeah.
USC?
Yeah.
That would be a chaos scenario,
I guess,
though.
That's true. Yeah, USC, but they're a two-loss team. So
they would have to win out, but they have an opportunity because they play at Oregon in a couple of weeks.
Right. So, yeah, you win that game, then you put yourself in conversation. But almost certainly going to be exactly three teams out of the Big Ten coming to the college football playoff, with Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon. The ACC, after last week, feels pretty much certain to be a one-bid league. Like you mentioned with USC, the chaos scenario would be Georgia Tech beats Georgia at the end of the year and then loses the ACC championship game. Which I guess in that scenario, it'd be an 11-1 Georgia Tech team with a win over Georgia. You can't punish them for losing in the ACC championship game. So maybe you get a two-bid ACC. But you feel good about one out of the ACC. You're going to get the American champ. That's five. And the Big 12 is the big question mark, along with Notre Dame. And all of this is to say, we're going to find out how many teams the SEC gets in. That is the big question right now, is you've got six of the top 12 ranked right now are in the SEC, with Texas and Oklahoma currently being outside of the bracket because of the auto bids. But if you're an SEC team like Vanderbilt, who is in the conversation but currently outside the bubble looking in, you need the Big 12 to be a one-bid league, and you're rooting for Notre Dame to lose one more game. That is the easiest chance for more SEC teams to get in. And this game tomorrow is massive, because BYU running the table, going 13-0 and winning the Big 12 championship, that is the easiest way to have a one-bid Big 12. If Texas Tech wins tomorrow, which I think they're a pretty big favorite.
They are close to, I believe, a 10-point favorite at home.
At home against an undefeated BYU team. So if they win this game, then you've got a one-loss BYU, a one-loss Texas Tech.
10.5.
10.5. That is, they always know, I guess. Cincinnati has only one loss, correct?
Cincinnati has one conference loss.
One conference loss, correct,
total.
Yes. So looking at the Big 12, you've got 5-1 Cincinnati, but yes, they're 7-2. So Utah also is ranked 13th in the country, but they're a two-loss team. BYU and Texas Tech, if you're a Vandy fan, you're an SEC fan of maybe Texas or Oklahoma or some of these other teams on the outside looking in, Missouri still has an outside shot at the playoff. You are rooting for the Big 12 to just get one bid, and the easiest way to do that is BYU beating Texas Tech tomorrow. That is a massive game for the SEC's playoff hopes. I think you're guaranteed to get four if you're the SEC. Right now, those four teams would be Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. Lots of games left to be played. Ole Miss has a pretty easy schedule the rest of the way. I think you feel good about them being 11-1 at the end of the season. Georgia still has to play Texas. Texas A&M still has to play Texas. And Alabama still has to play Oklahoma. So those are all huge games in the SEC. But in terms of the number of bids available to the Southeastern Conference, tomorrow's game is massive. Because a one-bid Big 12 is maybe the difference between a 10-2 Vanderbilt getting in and a 10-2 Vanderbilt being the first team out.
Yeah, that's the best case scenario, but if I don't see a world in which Vanderbilt wins out and with the resume they would have, they get left out of the playoff. But you need BYU to win this game tomorrow. Honestly, if BYU wins out and they beat Texas Tech tomorrow, there's a good chance that they could get matched up with either a Utah or a Cincinnati, and it would be hard for me to imagine a two-loss Utah that's left out of their conference championship game would get included in the playoff. Now,
yes,
there's a chance, but highly unlikely. With that said, I believe that if Texas Tech was to lose this game tomorrow, it probably would be Utah playing in the Big 12 championship versus BYU. BYU were to win that game, three-loss Utah not getting in. Big 12's a one-bid lead.
Right. That's an interesting scenario there, too, of what if BYU runs the table 12-0, but then you get a rematch of the Holy War in the conference championship and Utah wins. You can't leave out a 12-1 BYU. So that is – SEC fans, keep your eye on the Big 12 because that could have a huge impact on whether this team gets four bids, five bids. And then the only way they could get six is if Notre Dame was to lose another game. I don't, Navy's 7-1. I don't know if I see it this weekend.
Pitt's coming up in a couple
weeks.
Pitt
next weekend.
That's probably their toughest remaining game.
That is the spot that if you're looking for Notre Dame to slip up, you know, they were in a tight one with a bad Boston College team last week. So it's not impossible for them to slip up. Pitt is a top 25 team. They're playing at Acrisure Stadium, Heinz Field. In Pittsburgh next weekend. That's the one that if Notre Dame is going to slip up, I think that's the one that you look for. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Big weekend of college football coming up. You've got Georgia on the road at Mississippi State. That one could be a trap game. Mentioned BYU and Texas Tech. That is an 11 a.m. kick on ABC right after college game day in Lubbock. Texas A&M in Missouri, top 25 matchup. Can A&M stay undefeated? Top 20 matchup, Oregon and Iowa. And you got Vanderbilt welcoming Auburn to West End this weekend. Vanderbilt trying to keep their college football playoff hopes alive. We'll preview that game coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Hour number three coming up here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.